Brett has got something he needs to share with you. I asked him to share it with you. A lady, actually, Brett, come up. You can explain exactly how this happened.
Morning, everyone. About a month ago, when Yanni shared the news with the church, with the congregation, that he'd be leaving, we asked a handful of people in the course of the service if they had any words to share, and I think three or four people came up. And I felt strongly, I was the service coordinator, that somebody needed to share something. I had a sense of what it was, but the person wasn't forthcoming. So I kept pushing the point, pushing the point, pushing the point. In any case, towards the end of the service, a lady came up to me and said, I've got something that I feel God wants me to share with your church, but I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it in front of people. I'm too embarrassed. Will you please say it for me? So I said, well, let me hear what you've got to say, and then let's just work out if it's okay. And here's her testimony, her vision, and it ties into what you've already shared. So this is a month ago. She was a visitor. She said, is that your pastor, pointing at Yanni? Is that the father of this house? So I said, yes. She said, this is a message for him, but it's also a message for your church. So I'm sharing it now. Yanni has heard it, but we're sharing it today so that everyone understands that as Yanni leaves, he leaves us with something exciting. She said, in 3 months' time, she was very specific, so that's a month ago. In 3 months' time, so 2 months from now, this church will be too small to contain the excitement and the people that will be coming to it as a result of the work being done right now. So she honored Yanni for the work that he has done, and she said, you need to get ready, speaking to us as a church, for the big things that are going to happen. She said she saw this place bursting, literally, as stuff was flowing out from it, as people were being affected, as things were happening. Yanni has a vision that he's never shared, I don't think, with many, about what this site could be like. I know a number of you in the church have similar visions. Can I tell you that when somebody walks in from outside and shares something like that, that's such an amazingly God-appointed moment, a moment like this. She said, in 3 months' time, this church will not be able to contain what God needs to do from this place. Get ready for massive growth. So, Yanni?
Amen to that. Amen. I just want to share with you something that happened this morning, very briefly. It's just a prayer that the Lord led me to. It's actually a book. I was walking around this morning and I was like, Lord, just show me something. And this book jumped out at me. It was the only one lying on my desk. I don't know how it really got there. I just went into my office just to check that I hadn't left anything behind. And the book's called The Prayer of Jabez. So I want to read the book. I mean, I want to read the short prayer. It's from 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I believe it's very prophetic, matching up with what the lady shared with Brett. You've got to understand that this lady shared this word at the beginning of the service. She had no idea that I was leaving. She was a visitor. It was only after I'd shared the message that she probably realized how accurate her word was. But I want to read this prayer of Jabez, and I'm going to just change the yous and ours around a little bit just to make it more relevant. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless us indeed and enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us, and that you would keep us from evil, and that we may not cause pain. And God granted them that request. So Lord, we just thank you this morning that you are a good God, the God of Israel, Isaac and Jacob, and every single person that you've breathed life into, Lord. And that you will indeed enlarge the territory of this church, Lord. Not only by the number of people that come to fellowship here, Lord, but by the outward expression of the light of Christ in the community around us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that it will be your hand that protects us from evil, that we may not cause pain to anyone around us, but we shall demonstrate the love of Christ in everything that we do and everything that we say. And we are thankful in advance, Lord, that you will grant us this request, just as you did for Jabez, Lord. Because your word is unchanging. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this morning, Lord, as we sit under your word, we want to trust that it's going to shape us and change us, Lord. Father, every single one of us in this room is unique and individual. And you communicate and connect with us in ways that are so special to us. So I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning that you have opened up our understanding, open up our spiritual eyes and ears, open up our hearts and our spirits to truly receive what you have for us today. I thank you, Father, that it's not about me, Lord, because I am not faithful. I'm less than faithful, Lord. But you are faithful, always. Always, Lord. Always you are faithful. So we trust you this morning, Lord. We trust you to do something special. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're in the middle of we're at the tail end, the very last part of a sermon series that I started long ago. And there have been so many things happening in between that we've kind of like been a bit disjointed. Normally a sermon series happens one Sunday after another, and I take a topic or a piece of scripture and we talk about it for several Sundays. And I actually want to just do a recap for those who possibly weren't here, for those who have maybe forgotten what I spoke about, or maybe for those who have fallen asleep in some of the messages. Let me give you a quick recap. It's a four-part series. Part one was called An Invitation. And you will hopefully remember this is an invitation from Jesus to his apostles and to every single one of us. An invitation to follow him. And we discovered that we have no idea, absolutely no idea, what hangs in the balance with a simple step of obedience when it intertwines with the faithfulness of God. Do you remember that one? Okay, somebody remembers it. Thanks, Joanne. In part two, we had a question, and the question was, do you follow your heart? Continuation of the Follow Me series. And the key scripture we looked at was Jeremiah 17:9, which said, your heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. We saw that our own hearts can deceive us. And it would be wise for all of us to ask ourselves some simple questions every time we need to make a decision, knowing that our hearts deceive us. And the question is, am I being completely honest with myself? Why am I going in this certain direction? Then we saw part three, which was 2 weeks ago. And that was about great leadership. And here we saw that if Jesus has followers, he must be a leader. And often we don't look at Jesus as a great leader, often more as the Son of God, the Son of Man, Messiah, Savior of the world, but not leader. But I asked you to think about Jesus in terms of the fact that he grew a global brand in less than 3 years. He has hundreds of thousands of franchises all across the globe. We are still talking about him 2,000 years later, and in fact, the very eon of time is separated in two parts, before he came and after he came. Jesus was the greatest leader that ever lived. And he gives us a 2,000-year-old secret of what great leadership entails. And that secret is to be a servant to all. Humility. Humility. And we learned that all of us in leadership, all of us who have authority, all of us who have power and influence should use that authority for the benefit of those under our authority. Do you remember that? Okay. So today we're in the final part of this series, and actually quite a timely close, because this is my last sermon as the pastor of Shofar Franchuk. I know I will be back. I've already been invited back to share a few messages with you over the next coming months. So it's not the last you'll see of me or us, but it's the last time I will stand here as your pastor and give a message. So, the sermon this morning is called Or Not. Or Not. The title, like the Bible, needs to be read in context. So, in context, we need to put the final part of this series with the sermon title, with the sermon series title, which is Follow Me or Not. Follow Me or Not. And this morning we're going to look at another incredible question. And the younger you are, the more important this question is going to be in your life. Because every single person who journeys with Christ, at some point in your walk with Him, you are going to be tempted to unfollow Him. To say, no, I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore. But before you unfollow Christ, I want you to ask yourself one question. And this question is not from me. It's from a conversation that Jesus had with His closest followers. So let me set up the story for you. It's from John chapter 6. And Jesus has just performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 on the hillside with two fish and five loaves. And we know, and I've preached in this church before, it actually wasn't 5,000 people. It was 5,000 men. So if you include women and children, you're talking 20,000 people, roughly, maybe 15. There were a lot of people who had just fed. And the people are going absolutely bonkers. They want to crown Him king. You know, the apostles wanted to crown Him king. Remember two weeks ago in part 3, I shared with you that if you're hanging out with the guy that's about to be king, when he becomes king, you get a position of power. So His apostles were egging Him on to become king. So instead of allowing the people to crown Him as king, Jesus decides to jump on a boat. Jumps on a boat with His disciples and He heads across the Sea of Galilee to get away from the crowds that want to make Him king. And He ends up on the shores on the opposite side in a little place called Capernaum. Now, as He rests in Capernaum, some of the people who benefited from the feeding of the 5,000 happen to be on that side of the lake. And word gets out that Jesus, the miracle man, is in town and that He's teaching at the synagogue. So they begin to crowd around Him as word gets out. People start to gather in the synagogue and they start to almost badger Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, show us a sign. Do that gig you did the other day on the hillside. Feed us some food." Jesus recognizes, obviously, that some of these are the same people that got fed on the hillside. And He decides to use this as a defining creative teaching moment for Himself. Just as He had fed them physical bread, He uses the analogy to say, "I fed you literal physical bread, but you're still hungry. You're still hungry. Do you know that your Father God can provide you something for your spirit that you will never hunger again?" He begins to compare Himself to bread. And He says, and this is where we pick up the story, in John 6, verse 35, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never grow hungry. And whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty.' Verse 38, 'For I have come down from heaven, not to do My will, but the will of Him who sent Me.' Verse 41, 'At this the Jews began to grumble about Him because He said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not the Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can He say, I came down from heaven?'" All of a sudden, there's some tension growing in the crowd. The crowd saying, "We know who You are. We know Your mother and father. You never came down from heaven." Jesus continues, and the sermon is about to get weirder and weirder and weirder. And this is what he says, verse 54. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, what? What? It's at this point that parents are ushering their children out of the synagogue door, out the building. Jesus, what did you say? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Jesus goes on, and things just get stranger and stranger. The crowd is murmuring. The crowd is murmuring, and to them it sounds completely sacrilegious. All this talk about cannibalism, it's wild, wild out there stuff in their perspective. Meanwhile, the apostles, they are watching and thinking, Jesus, don't lose the crowd. They're about to crown you as king. Jesus, don't lose the crowd. Verse 60. On hearing it, that's the strange teaching that Jesus is just sharing with the crowd. Many of his disciples, now this is not the 12 disciples, this is the general group of disciples that follow Jesus, kind of like you and me in this room, the general crowd. Many of them just hung around to watch miracles and get free lunches, but they were there anyway. Verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Who can embrace this? Who can go along with what you're saying, Jesus? Who, for goodness sake, wants to be associated with this? The crowd is starting to turn on Jesus just a little bit. But the 12, they recognize it. They recognize what's happening. They know right behind the crowd is the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are gunning for Jesus. And if they're gunning for Jesus and you're one of his close ones, they're gunning for you too. The crowd is incredibly important for Jesus. The crowd is the buffer between those who are gunning for Jesus. Verse 61. Aware that his disciples, that's the general group again, were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Does this trip you up? Does this make you wonder? Is this too heavy for you? Is this too hard? Is this too much? John tells us about a transition point. This was a hinge in Jesus' ministry. Verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples, again, that's the general crowd of followers, turned back and no longer followed him. They no longer followed him. They hit the unfollow button. Not following Jesus anymore. We love the miracles. Love the free food. Love all the excitement that's going around. Love the healings. Driving out the demons, that's amazing stuff. Even the wannabe king part, because we can't stand these Romans. But this came from heaven. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. I don't think we can go there. That's far too strange for us. That's enough. We are unfollowing Jesus. The 12 apostles, those who are close, they're listening to Jesus and they're watching the crowd. They're watching the crowd exit the synagogue door and disappear over the hill into the sunset. And they begin to wonder too. And we will see this in a few verses' time. Maybe they should unfollow Jesus too. Maybe they should take this opportunity and just slip into the crowd and disappear too. And Jesus knows the heart of man. We see it so many times in the gospel that people, before they can even say something, Jesus asks them a question, a pertinent question. So he knows what's happening and he pauses and he turns to his 12. And in verse 67 he says, you don't want to leave me too, do you? Are you thinking of leaving me? Are you thinking of pushing that unfollow button? That is such a relevant question for all of us. Because regardless of how long you've been following Jesus, there's going to come a day when you consider unfollowing him. Some of you might be thinking, no ways, not me, not me. But I want to tell you when those times are most likely. It's going to be times of transition. Maybe going from high school to university. Maybe going from university to that first job. Maybe being transferred with your career to another city. You know, in your hometown, you have your family to keep you accountable. You have your local church. You have your small group. And maybe a specific accountability partner. But now it's a time of transition. Maybe the love of your life has just dumped you. Maybe you've just started a family and you've had that first kid and your focus has changed slightly. Maybe a loved one has just died. Maybe the current pastor of your church is leaving town. You laugh. You laugh. Let me share with you what happened when we arrived at this town 4.5 years ago. Henny left, and so did 3/4 of the worship team. Boom. Gone. Never to be seen again. Never to set their foot back into this church. Never to set their foot back into a church again. It's at that time of transition that we are at highest risk. The highest risk to push that unfollow button. You're going to be tempted to unfollow Jesus, not because you think it's untrue. Very few people quit following Jesus because they think it's untrue. Some do, but it's rare. People stop following Jesus because it's too hard. It's too inconvenient. It leaves me so isolated from the people around me. It doesn't seem to matter over here. It mattered so much when I was living at home with my parents, but now I'm at university, doesn't matter anymore. It's not always in a time of transition that we will be tempted to hit that unfollow button. People choose not to follow Christ because he's so cute. He's so cute. Have you seen him? He's the love of my life. He's the one I've been waiting for. But he's not a Christian. And this Christianity thing's actually getting in the way of my relationship. Well, she's so hot. Have you seen how she dresses? Wow! She's so beautiful. You know, anybody can become a Christian, but not everybody can be beautiful. So I think I'm going to go with her. The justifications I have heard. Crazy justifications that I've heard. Maybe you're going through a tough time. You know? You've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing's happening. You've always believed and now you're still believing and nothing's working. You're frustrated. God seems so quiet. You've obeyed and nothing is panning out the way you thought it would. And you're tempted to unfollow Christ. Verse 67 says again, "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asking his apostles. Jesus asking us in this room today. You may have had a moment like this in your life. You may have. You may be in a moment like this right now. Or you may be having this moment in the future to come. But think of it this way, and I want to encourage you this morning. Matthew, Mark, Thomas, Peter, Bartholomew, Andrew, James, John, all of them. All of the closest followers of Christ, all of them who were shoulder to shoulder, eyeball to eyeball with the Savior of this world, had a moment where they were considering to unfollow Jesus. And Jesus asked them, "Do you want to leave too?" Do you want to leave too? And you know you can't lie to Jesus. Because Jesus sees the heart of man. He will know. So what do you say when he asks you something like that? So in this dramatic moment, Peter comes up with something brilliant. You know, so often in the gospel, you see Peter put his both feet in his mouth and say some dumb things. But here he comes up with a moment of brilliance. And Peter asks a question which I hope gets deeply embedded into your heart and into your spirit and into your mind today. It gets embedded so deeply into you today, because the next time you're in transition and you want to question whether you're going to follow Christ or not, the next time when you're so overwhelmed by temptation and it's too hard to say no, next time you're going to be tempted to doubt who Christ is, to forget the Jesus thing, I want you to come back to this question. This is the most clarifying question of all. Peter asks it, verse 38. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" You don't want to leave too, do you? Well, actually, we do, Jesus. I do. But whom? To whom shall we go? Peter recognizes one of the most important things that we often don't realize until it's too late. That when you unfollow Jesus, you choose to follow something or someone else. Think about that. When you choose to follow Jesus, you inadvertently are saying yes to something else. If not you, then who? If not this, then what? Chase your money? Chase the girl? Chase the lifestyle? What are you after? So the real question is, to whom shall we go? This is an issue for you. It's an issue for me. It's an issue for some of you right now in this room. Because it's hard to follow Jesus. It's inconvenient to follow Christ. The world doesn't like Jesus' followers. You know, I have a friend in this town. Had a beautiful dog. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful dog. Dog was only 5 years old, and this friend didn't have children, and this dog was almost like his child. And he phoned me up the one day, and he told me that his dog had just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. So I went around and I went to pray with him. Actually went to anoint the dog, some healing. And he was convinced without a shadow of a doubt that he heard the Lord say to him, "I'm going to heal your dog." Anyway, a couple of months went past and the dog died. And he was absolutely devastated. He stopped going to church. There were many months he didn't go to small group. He was tempted to unfollow Christ. And the Lord laid it on my heart to send him this scripture with this question. And for some of you right here today, there's a part of you that wants to walk away. And Peter says to you today, before you walk away from Christ, to whom shall you go? To whom shall you go? Listen to Peter's thought process. It's brilliant, amazing. To whom shall you go? For you have the words of eternal life. Jesus, no one else is offering this. Jesus, I remember when I was with my buddies and my father fishing for fish on the Sea of Galilee. And you walked up to us and you invited us into something grand and glorious. And life has never been the same since then. So honestly, Jesus, Peter asked himself, where else am I going to go? Leave? And follow who? You have the words of eternal life. And this is so relevant for Jesus followers like you and me. Because you have to ask yourself, is there anything in life so satisfying that you would be prepared to quit following the Savior of the world. Forget Jesus. Have you seen his car? Forget Jesus. She is just so good in bed. Here's what Peter knew. Here's what I believe. And here's what I know most of us believe in this room. That when you unfollow Jesus, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day where you could wish you could go back and undo the unfollowing. Listen to what Peter says next, verse 69. We have come to believe and to know that you're the Holy One of God. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. In other words, Jesus, we've seen too much. We know too much. We've experienced too much. And if we leave you now, Jesus, to whom shall we go? I love that question. I love it with all my heart because it's a question that helps us avoid seasons of our life where we wish we could go back and relive. It helps us avoid unnecessary regret. That question, if we pause in difficult times of transition or trials that want to take us out, if we just pause and ask ourselves, okay, 1 minute. If not Jesus, then who? If not Christianity, then what? Before you choose not to follow Jesus, you owe it to yourself to answer this one question. Is there anyone or anything that is offering you eternal life? I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. Father, the one constant we have in this world is change. We look in the mirror each day and we grow older. We look at the seasons around us, they change. We look at technology and it changes at a rate that's expanding beyond our conception. We see our relationships change and develop. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. We see the climates change. We see a world in transition, Lord. But Lord, we know that you are the only unchanging thing here. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in a world that continually changes, Lord, we know that you are our strong tower. That we can find peace in the shadow of your wings. Lord, help us with this transition. Each one of us. This transition of this faith family. As one pastoral family goes out and another pastoral family comes in. Let none of us, Lord, get caught in between. Let those words echo deep in our spirits. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. My brothers and sisters, salvation is free. It costs you nothing. Following Christ is going to cost you something. But refusing to follow Christ is going to cost you everything. So I thank you, Father, that as Kat and I and Alexi leave this church, as the season changes, Lord, we remind ourselves that you are the head of not only Shofar Franschhoek and the Shofar movement, but the entire body of Christ. And you are faithful, Lord, even when we are not. You alone are faithful. You will never leave us, and you will never forsake us. So I thank you, Father, just as that word came from a visiting person, Lord, in this prayer of Jabez, Lord, that you are going to enlarge the tent pegs of this ministry, Lord. Because you are glorified here, Lord. It is your truth that is taught from this pulpit and sung from our lips. It is the love of Christ that keeps us going. Your grace is sufficient. In our weakness, you are made strong. So thank you, Father, for the season that comes, which will be more fruitful, more exciting. And you are always in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.